Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and this is episode 68 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Today's episode is straight fire as we talk to Jared Lopes, aka Dad Tired. Each week, we try to invite guests in to talk about motherhood, prayer, children, and schools. Today's show is a little different, and here's why. Many, many women of God lead spiritually single lives. In this episode, we sit down and talk to Jared, a young dad whose entire ministry revolves around helping dads engage in spiritual leadership. You will want to share this episode with a friend, and this one you may even want to share with your husband. Not to like thump them over the heads, but because Jared is just so relatable. You can find the show notes for this episode with all the scriptures, books, and resources we discuss on the blog at momsinprayer.org. I haven't read a comment from you in such a long time, but I wanted you to know we read every single one, and this one came from a dad. Listening to this podcast got me more excited than anything in a long, long time. I was almost dancing as I listened to it, and my wife was quite amazed. Then I gave it to her to listen, and she got excited too. God is on the move, and it's such a privilege to be a part of it. God bless Moms in Prayer. Erin, I'm dancing too. In fact, just this morning, we crossed 100,000 downloads for this podcast. That is amazing. Thank you. That happens because you share this podcast and the mission of Moms in Prayer. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome Jared to the podcast. Well, Jared Lopes, like Slopes, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much. That's one of the better introductions I've ever had. That caught me off guard. Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's so fun. I watched a video on your website where you were explaining it is not Lopez, it's Slope. So I practiced Jared Lopes. Here you are. Can't wait for my friends to get to know you. I just finished your new book, Dad Tired, and thought it was awesome to read as a mom. So
thank you.
Introduce yourself to our audience.
I'm a young dad and husband, been married to my wife for the last 10 years. Got three kids, 8, 6, and 9 months. And I'm hoping for like 15 more, but we'll see if my wife has those same. I've convinced her for at least one more, so we'll just take it one at a time until she says no more. But anyway, yeah, I'm a pastor. I've been pastor for the last 13, 14 years now. Most of that was in the church world context, and then about 4 years ago, I transitioned out of that and started a nonprofit ministry accidentally, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. But helping dads, helping young husbands and dads try to figure out what it looks like to be spiritual leader of their home. So that's what I spend my time doing.
That's wonderful. So you're in Portland. What's the fall like in Portland?
Fall is, for many of us Portlanders, the prettiest season. We are known for having like 9 months of rain out of the year, and everyone thinks it's really dreary and depressing, and it can be. But like from September and October are my favorite months. It's when the seasons are changing. It's absolutely gorgeous here. It's still a little bit warm, but all the colors are changing and it's beautiful. But if you talk to me in like December, I'll probably be really depressed and want to be flying out somewhere else in the country.
I live in West Michigan, and this is a beautiful season here too. But come January, we lost the sun and we don't see it again for 4 months. So
yeah,
can totally
we can relate on that.
That's right. So Jared, I know from reading your book that the journey of being a dad and into being a dad was an interesting moment. So tell us when it clicked that this was about more than having kids that just looked like you and your wife.
Yeah, well, I actually always wanted to be a dad. I was super excited about being a dad. Even when I was a kid, my dad bailed on us when I was 3. So I didn't really have a dad around growing up. And I remember being out in my driveway shooting hoops. And I would actually kind of imagine my dad sitting there coaching me in my driveway as I was playing basketball and practicing basketball, which in hindsight is like the saddest thing. Like, no kid should have to have that reality. But for many kids, that is their reality, not having dad around. And so I was one of those kids. I didn't have my dad around, but I remember thinking, like, I cannot wait to be a dad. I can't wait to be the kind of dad that I didn't have, the kind of husband that my mom didn't have. Like, I wanted to be really, really good at it. And so I got married like a lot of Christians. There's a lot of jokes in Christian culture about how young we all get married. I got married at 21. We started having kids pretty quick after that. And despite my best efforts of wanting to be a really good husband and dad, frankly, like, I sucked at it. I wasn't that good at it. And I couldn't fake it. Like, I realized quickly in marriage and in parenting that I could fake a lot of things to a lot of people, but it's hard to fake being like a good husband and dad when you're actually a husband and dad. You know, you can't fake it for very long because your sin starts to get exposed pretty quickly. Right. And as you're living under the same household and under the same roof as your wife and kids. So anyway, I didn't realize like I had anger issues until I got married and had kids. I didn't realize like I was impatient until I got married and had kids. I didn't realize the weight of my sin until I got married and had kids. To get specifically to your question, when it clicked for me, I was actually in a really, really hard season of marriage. I was not being an engaged husband. I was not being an engaged dad. My wife and I were actually fighting a lot. I was pulling far away from my wife and from my kids. And there was one particular day where my wife and I were in the middle of a fight, which seemed to be kind of a normal thing for us at the time. And we were standing in the bedroom, which is actually where I'm recording this podcast. So it feels fresh when I talk about this story, but we're standing there and we were in the middle of a fight and I had said something to her that was hurtful. And I said something hurtful on purpose and I could tell it, like, it hit her in the gut and she paused and her eyes started to fill up with tears. And in my just immature arrogance, like, I was like, oh, I'm winning the fight. Like, you know, I'm up in this one. And she just her eyes started to fill up with tears. And she said, Jared, I just want you to know that I have been waking up at 2 a.m. every morning. And I go into the living room and I just pray that God would capture your heart again. And that was really, really hard for me. I always tell people, like, I would have rather she cussed me out. I think I could have handled that better. But I didn't know what to do with that. Like, what do you do as a husband when your wife says she's getting up in the middle of the night and praying that God would capture your heart? Like, you can't really like slam the door and like stomp off, you know. The Holy Spirit really used that moment to recapture my heart. I'd been a pastor for years at that point and I was just far from God. I was far from my family. And I was like, what am I doing here? I am either going to go down a trajectory and a path where it will lead us, worst case, to divorce, or best case, like, if I keep going down this path, we're just going to be really bitter towards each other and kind of miserable in our marriage and miserable. My kids will be really miserable. So that was really a fork in the road moment for me where the Holy Spirit really convicted me and in his kindness brought me back to him. That was the moment where I was like, all right, if I'm going to stick in this and be the man that God's called me to be, I need to be more than just like a present warm body in this house, but I need to be the spiritual leader that God's called me to be.
So what did that change begin to look like? What happened after that time?
For me, during this season, and this season really came out of, I had actually tried to plant a church with a friend. It went really sour and south. And that's kind of what started this whole season of me just, I don't know what other words to use, and I'm sorry for the language. I just sucked. I sucked as a husband and dad. No. And that came out of just a really hard season for me in ministry and identity crisis stuff. So after that season, I'd kind of stepped out of church leadership and I was really struggling and really in many ways depressed. I was isolating myself big time. Like, I didn't want to be around anyone, and I especially didn't want to be around Christians. So I wasn't going to church. I was like pulling away from all my Christian friends. You know, sin just loves darkness. It loves to hide. And so I didn't want to be around anyone. And so after the season where God really started to recapture my heart for his, really because of the prayers of my wife, and as he started to kind of recapture my heart, what happened is I was like, all right, I want to be around people again. I need to be around people again. I always give the analogy of like, when you take your kids bowling and you set up the bumpers on the gutters, right? So that the ball doesn't end up in the gutter. For me, community and Christian community and being around other people really felt like those bumpers so that I didn't end up in the gutter again. Cause you leave me alone for like 1 minute and I'm in the gutter. And so I just knew that if I wanted to really be the man that God was calling me to be, I needed those bumpers up. I needed those people around me who were going to point me back to the direction I was trying to head. And so I told my wife, like, all right, we can't be alone anymore. We can't isolate our family anymore. Let's get people in our house. And so I actually set a goal to have 100 people in our home for dinner over the next year. And my wife's like, that's nuts. Like, what? Just do the math. Like, we can't do that. Like, that's, how are we going to even afford that much food? And I was just like, I don't know. I just want, let's just go for it. Let's just be crazy here and try to have 100 people in our home in the next year. So I don't know where we ended up, you know, numbers wise, but over the last few years now, we've had several hundred people in our home. And one thing that we actually do is my wife bought me a Polaroid camera before we started doing that. And every time somebody comes over and shares a meal with us, we just take a picture with them and we put it up on our wall. We call it our wall of fame in our home. And that's just a visual reminder for us and for our kids that God is working beyond just our little family, but also how much we need the people of God around us to help us get to where we want to be.
Oh, that's such a cool goal. Such a good idea. Jared, what about being a dad? Your ministry is called Dad Tired. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you probably hear my kids yelling in the background. I'm actually home alone right now. My wife is working. Bless her heart. She's a nurse. She puts in some long, hard hours as a nurse. And so I'm home and all three of my kids are sick right now. So you probably hear them.
Bless your heart. We can all relate to that.
Yeah. The play on words there, dad tired, is kind of dead tired. But for all of us who are parents, I'm speaking specifically to dads, but for sure we know what it's like to be dad tired and mom tired. Like all of us as parents are tired. But I always tell guys like, man, if you're doing what God has called you to do, you're going to be exhausted. Like to put in the work, your 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work, and then to come home and to make the conscious decision that now my real job starts as a husband and as a father. And so you turn off the car and you walk in and you put in extra hours and you give in all the energy that you can so that you can make a dent in the things that matter for eternity. Like that's exhausting. That's hard, hard work. So you're going to go to bed tired. But I always say like when you're doing the things that God has called you to do, your body is going to be physically tired. Like when you lay your head down at your pillow at night, you will be exhausted. And yet your soul will not grow weary. This is the work that God's called you to do. And so, yeah, we're dad tired, but the tagline to the book is actually dad tired and loving it. Like we love to be where God has called us to be, even though our bodies are exhausted, our souls are not weary because we know God's called us to this work that's going to have an impact for all of eternity.
So what has that looked like and involved as you've engaged your kids and they start to grow? What does that look like when you come home from a day of ministry and the kids are there waiting for you? What does that practically look like for you?
Yeah. So one thing that we get asked a lot about in the dad tired community is, you know, how do I like practically lead my kids toward Jesus? A lot of times guys are asking like, do you have any devotionals I should be reading? How do I do family devotionals? And one thing I always say is like all of life is a family devotional. Like the Moses in Deuteronomy said, when he's talking to parents, he was saying, whenever you wake up and rise and walk and talk and eat, like whatever you're doing, impress these things onto your children. And really, we were talking about the things of God onto your children. And so that's really the model that we take as dads is like, how do we use every single opportunity? If I'm walking around the block with my kids, how am I going to point out the glory of God, whether that be in a ladybug that we see or the sunset or the things that my kids are struggling with, that they're with school or friends or whatever, like anything that I can use to point my kids back to Jesus, I'm going to point it back to them. When we sit at a dinner table, when we're at the grocery store, this just happened recently where we were at the grocery store and I was with my son and on the other aisle over, we could hear a couple, husband and wife, arguing. And the husband said, or I think it was the wife that said to the husband, just so you know, I'll never forgive you. I'll never forgive you for this. And it was really loud and kind of like an awkward scene in the grocery store. But I just knelt down to my son and I said, son, I just want you to know, I could tell he had heard the conversation. I said, son, I just want you to know that like daddy will never not forgive you because God has always forgiven daddy. And so no matter what you do, there is forgiveness for you because daddy has been forgiven so many times by God. And so I was just trying to use that opportunity. Like what? Okay, there's an awkward moment at the grocery store. There's a couple fighting. How can I use this little moment to point my kids back to Jesus? And I always tell guys like discipleship is often involves little 30-second moments as opposed to like 15-minute devotional time at bedtime, which is awesome. Like for sure, do that. But bigger than that is how can you use as many 30-second moments as you can to point your kids back to Jesus?
Oh, that's so good. It's so good. How are you and your wife praying for your kids these days? What kinds of things are you leaning in and asking the Lord for?
Well, first, that God would capture their heart more than anything. You know, we're recording this at the beginning of a school year, and we actually homeschool our kids, but, you know, for all of us kind of around the country, our kids are starting school. And so there's always this added pressure for parents, like, man, I want my kids to be really smart. I want to make sure that they get it. I want to make sure that they have good grades and do well at school and absorb the information so that they can be successful. And whether that means going to college or whatever, like getting a good job one day, like these are all goals that we have as parents. But really, like more than all of that, I want my kids just to love Jesus, and I want their hearts to be captured by His. And so that's like our first prayer that we pray a lot. God, more than anything, where their hearts be in love with You. And I just want to like say to any moms or parents listening who often carry the weight of that and really thinking like, man, I just so badly want my kids to fall in love with the Lord. I want them to know the Lord, but it's heavy. Like, how do I make sure that happens by the time they leave? That's a heavy, can feel like a heavy responsibility. And so one thing I would just say to encourage the parents listening, like the fact that God put your kids in your home is evidence to the fact that He's already chasing down their hearts. And so just rest assured in that, like God can use the rocks and the trees to save their little hearts if He wanted to. He doesn't need you, but He's inviting you to be part of the story of the redemption of their hearts. And so like, even the fact that He said, I'm going to place these kids in your home and you have a desire for them to know God, like God's already chasing them down. Like, praise God. It doesn't rely on you. He's just letting you be a part of it. And so I have to remind myself of that often. Like, am I doing enough? Am I reading enough? Are we praying enough? Do we do the right devotionals? Are my kids missing it? Am I being too hypocritical? Do I tell them to love Jesus at one point and then do I scream at them the next minute? Are they going to be forever scarred by my parenting and confused? But like at the end of the day, the fact that God put these kids in our home and we even have a desire to want to know Him is just evidence that God's already chasing them down and He's going to do what He wants to do with them. So I hope that's encouraging to some moms listening.
I'm sure it is encouraging. And one of the conversations that we have with moms all the time is women who are spiritually engaged, but their husbands who maybe aren't the spiritual leaders in their home, but they would like them to be. And so can we just be real honest here? This is a tough situation to be in for women. How do you suggest we handle this? What do you say to us who are listening with cups of coffee in our hand and saying, okay, we want our husbands to lead, but they're not. What do we do?
Well, the first thing I'd say is probably the number one question that I get asked on a weekly basis from women. 60% of the people who follow along in the Dad Tired community, whether that be podcast listeners or social media followers, are women. And so one, you're not alone. There are many, many, many women who are praying that their husbands would become the spiritual leaders of their home. I wish my wife were here to answer that question, because I think she could give a perspective that would be even better than mine. And I think would just help women relate. But here's what I know my wife would say. There was a season of our marriage where I was not the spiritual leader of our home. And like I said earlier, I sucked as a husband and as a dad and was most definitely not leading my family to Jesus. And what was so amazing about what Layla did in that season of marriage was she could have nagged to try to get my behavior to change. Like every day, Jared, just do this, do this. How come you're not stepping up? Man up. Lead our family. Like, look at you. She could have done that and she didn't. And I think what my wife realized is she did not have the capacity to change my heart. And heart change is actually what I needed. I didn't just need behavior change, because behavior change like will come and go. It doesn't last. What I actually needed was heart change. And my wife, and for any wives listening, as awesome as you are, you don't have the capacity to change your husband's heart. You just don't. Like, it doesn't matter how strong of a woman you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how amazing of a wife. Like, you do not possess the ability to change your husband's heart. There's only one heart changer, and that's Christ. And so we just go to Him. Like, for you wives who are just wanting this more than anything, I would say like nagging is not going to get him to change. It may change his behavior, but most likely it'll probably just change his attitude towards bitterness. But what he actually needs is heart change. And so just be faithful in prayer often, like pray as much as you can that the Holy Spirit would come and to do a work in his heart that you can't do. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is, you know, 1 Peter 3 says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. That's an amazing promise in the scriptures that wives, even if your husband does not believe the scriptures, he is not living out the scriptures, that he would be won over without your words and just by your behavior as he sees your purity and your reverence for the Lord. So man, that's like cling to that, that God will do what God's going to do and that he is faithful to win husbands over even without your words. And lastly, there are so many wives who for years and years and years will be praying this prayer, and it will take maybe decades for your husband's heart to be changed. And that, like, I just want that to say that in reality, because I know there are a lot of women who would say, I've been praying for years and nothing's happening. There are some whose husbands in reality may never come to be the spiritual leader that God has called them to be. And I just want to say sorry to those wives who are carrying that burden, because that is a heavy burden to carry. And I don't understand theologically like why that's happening and why your husband's not stepping up. But just know that there are a lot of guys like me who didn't have dads around leading them and who didn't have a man around in the house that was leading them. And yet God was still faithful to take care of the kids. And God will be faithful to take care of your kids as you are faithful to just do what God has called you to do as the wife and as the mother. And so all hope is not lost, even though you so badly want that for your children, that man to be around to lead them. Again, it does not rely on you and it doesn't even rely on your husband. God is faithful to save the hearts of your little children. And so just be faithful to him and trust their hearts to his.
I think all three of those things that you just said are going to resonate so deeply. I know they do with me too. I wonder, Jared, at this point, what role guy friends have in your journey and spurring you on?
I mean, everything really. every time we just, you know, we're part of a little house church. I've been on staff at mega churches with thousands and thousands of people and staff on churches of hundreds. And now we're part of a little home church, which there's about 50 of us. So I've kind of gone the gamut, but we're in a little home church right now. And
okay, 50 people in a house is a lot of people in anybody's house.
Yes.
That's a big house church.
Yeah, well, we're in three homes. So I should clarify that. Yeah, we started in one. And as we've grown, we meet in three different homes. But yeah, so these guys that I have around me that really know me, and that they don't know me as Pastor Jared, there is actually no staff on this church. We don't have any paid staff or anything. So we all just are in this together. And these guys just, they don't know me as like Dad Tire Jared or Author Jared or Podcaster. They just know me as Jared, the husband and dad. Like they've seen me try to figure out how to discipline my kids as they're having meltdowns over dinner and all this stuff. But man, I just left last Sunday, a couple of days ago, I left our gathering together and was just reminded again, like, man, I need these men around me. Because honestly, like none of us drift towards God. We drift away from him in our sinful nature. If you leave me alone, like I'm not just going to wander. My heart isn't prone to wander toward God. It's prone to wander away from God. And so I just don't know how anyone could do it alone. Like you need guys for men. Like you need dudes around you who are going to say, Jared, like what? You're believing a lie. You're believing that something else will satisfy your soul. You're believing your job will satisfy your soul or some woman or thing or money or toy or like something else is going to satisfy your soul. But let me remind you, here are the guards so that you don't go down into the gutter again. And let me point you back to the strike, like the end goal here. And that's to fall in love with Jesus. And so all of us need that, especially dudes. We need that in our life because you leave us alone, we're likely going to be in the gutter pretty quickly.
Well, it's such an important thing, I think, for a woman to pray that men have good friendships in their lives and not just for accountability purposes so they have someone to tattle to, but, you know, like friendships that are going to spur them on. We as women, especially at Moms in Prayer, are all about the community that we create. But I think it's so great that you just said guys need to be all about their community as well.
And it's super hard. Like, I'll just say that for guys, like I always say, it's easy to find guys who will watch a football game with you. It's a lot harder to find guys who are going to point you towards Jesus. So kind of shameless plug here. We have a Dad Tired community where those guys are like-minded, and we have guys all over the country, and all the time those guys are meeting up with each other. So just, they're saying, hey, I live here. Who else lives in my area? Let's just meet up and just like have coffee or drink a beer or go grab a bite or whatever, and just like encourage each other towards Jesus.
Oh, I think that's great. And first of all, in your book, one of the things I loved the most was about practicing the gospel in your home.
Yeah.
And I really want you to be able to talk just a little bit about that. What does that practically look like to live out the gospel as parents and as a husband?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. One thing, we do a lot of Dad Tired conferences where we'll go into a city and we'll spend a day talking with guys about what it looks like to have the gospel shape us as men, the gospel to shape us as husbands and fathers and workers. And so one thing I always say at those conferences, that I don't want to just give advice that you could hear at a secular conference. Frankly, a lot of the advice we hear on parenting, even in the Christian world, it could be said even in the secular world. So what I want to do is always tie what we're talking about back to the gospel. So one really practical example of that is, I always say, like, all of us agree we should say sorry to our kids, right? Like, apologizing to your kids is important. It's an important thing for us to do. And everyone would agree with that. Even my atheist friends would agree that you should say sorry to your kids to practice humility. But one of the things that the reason that we say sorry to our kids as Christian husbands or parents and dads is, the reason we say sorry to our kids is we want them to see that even daddy desperately needs Jesus. And so I'm not just saying sorry to my kids so that I'm teaching them humility. I'm saying sorry to my kids so that they recognize daddy isn't the hero of this family. Every single person in this family is broken and falls short of the glory of God. And we all desperately need Jesus to come and change the broken parts of our heart. That's a difference between just like good parenting advice, say sorry to your kids, model humility, and gospel parenting. Gospel parenting is where I use every opportunity to point my kids back to the good news of Jesus. And so that's like that. Just saying sorry is a very practical one. So, I mean, just practically, next time you do something wrong where you fail your wife or you fail your kids or you fail your husband or whatever, sit your kids down and say, listen, I have failed you and I have failed the standard that God has called me to. And I've apologized to God. I've asked God to forgive me and to change this brokenness in my heart, but also asking you for your forgiveness. And I just want to remind you, like, daddy really needs Jesus, or mommy really needs Jesus, just like your heart really needs Jesus. Everyone in this family needs God to come and make new what's broken.
I don't know about you, but I didn't necessarily see that modeled at home. And as I talk to women, they didn't see that modeled at home either. And I think a lot of women are afraid of, and probably men, what will happen when that happens? And I know the answer in my home, but Jared, what are you seeing as you model gospel in your home?
Yeah, well, most of us did not. Even for those of us who had really good parents, so a lot of us didn't have dads around. And for those of us that even had dads around, like, a lot of our parents weren't intentional about teaching us gospel. And they were teaching us, like, make sure we go to church and that we love the Lord and we pray and we have good morals. A lot of us had parents like that. But to, like, be specific in our gospel parenting, that's rare, really, really rare to have that. So what happens is, your kids just start to learn the gospel at an early age, as opposed to just learning that they need to say a prayer to get to heaven, which I think is what a lot of us were taught. Like, I was taught you need to accept Jesus into your heart so you don't go to hell. And like any logical person thinks, well, okay, I don't want to go to hell. That sounds terrible. So as a kid, what I ended up doing was I ended up praying 1,000 times that God would come into my heart just to make sure he really knew I was serious so I wouldn't go to hell. I was terrified of going to hell. And I don't want my kid, like, Jesus was never trying to scare the hell out of people, right? Like, what he wanted instead was, let me teach you about how things were actually meant to be, the beauty of being in relationship with me and the way things were designed. So I want my kids to actually, like, have that, the beautiful good news of Jesus on their hearts. And so what's funny is, like, we were driving the other day and something was on the radio. It was out myself here a little bit, and hopefully your listeners don't judge me too hard, but there was a Bruno Mars song that came up on the radio. My kids were dancing to it, or, you know, singing along to it or whatever. And he kept talking about a particular girl or girls that he really wanted. And my 5-year-old little girl said, "Daddy, he thinks that a girl will satisfy his heart, but we know that only Jesus can satisfy our hearts." And I was like, holy cow, like the gospel is being shared in our car through a Bruno Mars song right now. And so that's the beauty. Like what I want, I never want my kids to just always think, well, Daddy, is this right or wrong? Is Daddy going to be mad at me? Am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? What I always want them to think is, will this satisfy my soul more than Jesus can? And even my little girl listening to a Bruno Mars song was starting to recognize like, oh, we're chasing all kinds of things. People chase all kinds of things they think will satisfy their soul, but we know only God can do that. Like, how beautiful is that? You know, so that's gospel parenting stuff.
And that is the good stuff. Jared, it's been so good to have you here with us today. I'm wondering if you would do me a favor and pray for the moms that are listening who want their husbands to engage or want to come alongside them as they do engage in gospel parenting.
Yeah, it'd be an honor. I'd be an honor. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know that we come to you oftentimes with all kinds of requests. And I don't know, Lord, if you sometimes think some of our requests are silly or if you're just a good father who listens to all the things. But Lord, I do know from your character and your reputation throughout the scriptures that you love answering the prayers of people who ask for hearts to be changed. God, you seem to be in the business of redemption and love to answer prayers of redemption, of hearts being turned from darkness and into the light. And so God, that is my prayer for particularly for the women who are listening right now, who just so badly want to have a family unit, a husband and a wife and kids that are following after you. And Lord, I know the reality is there are many women who their souls are weary because their husbands are not united with them and pointing their family towards you. And so God, by your grace, would you start to soften the hearts of men for the wives who are listening right now and who have husbands who are not falling. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, even as I pray, you would begin to chip away at the walls and at the brokenness and the hard-heartedness of men who are listening to this and who are far from you, God. God, would you by your kindness, I love Jesus that you say in your scriptures, Lord, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. God, I pray that your kindness would start to invade the hearts of these men and draw them back to you. And Lord, would women mark this day down and have it down as a day that they remember praying for their husbands and when they come back to it and celebrate the fact that you would answer these prayers and that you were faithful to answer these prayers and that their husbands would start to come to know you. And for those, God, who will be in that season for years and years, God, I pray that you would be steadfast with them, God, that you would give them what they need to remain faithful to you and to their family, to their husbands and to their children. God, would your Holy Spirit be the fuel for them? God, would you be the vine and would they be the branch and would they feel rest in you and you alone? Not their behavior of the husbands, not the actions of their husbands, but you and you alone. It's in your name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Jared, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, so grateful to be here. Thank you.
So good, right? My favorite part was this. The fact that God put your kids in your home is evidence to the fact that God is already chasing down your children's hearts. Rest in that. Oh man, I needed that. You can find ways to connect with Jared, more about the Dad Tired book and community, and all the show notes on the blog at momsinprayer.org. 3 quick steps for you as we wrap up. 1, jump on our website and join a group if you aren't already in a group. What are you waiting for? 2, share this episode with a friend right now. I know how important it is for moms to be encouraged. Just click share and send it in a text to a friend who may not be involved in a Moms in Prayer group. And 3, give. It's easy to give to the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer and help us continue to see every school in the world covered in prayer. You can jump on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. Moms are making the difference. Moms just like you. See you next week.